As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I just want to give you guys a heads up that there is some light cursing in this episode. So if you have little ones around or you're listening at work, you may want to put in headphones.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for inclusive and accessible wellness. Hey, everyone. Hey, Jess.
Hey, hey.
What's up, boo?
Not much. You know, just trying to cross my I's and dot my T's. cross my T's and dot my I's.
I got it.
And not fall apart while doing it. 2021.
It.
I was going to say 2020, but it's like 2021. Same new year, same ish.
Right. I was like, it's pretty much 2020.
It's like a 2020 on steroids. That was just, yeah.
Well, we are going to be chatting it up with two of our RD friends, Vanessa and Tamar. Vanessa Riceto and Tamar Samuels are registered dietitians and co-founders of Kalina Health. They offer nutrition coaching and science-based health and wellness education. We reached out to them because there's so much information, misinformation about nutrition. And I think it's been on overdrive, especially during quarantine, because people are spending a lot of time online. And they're really great at going through all of this and simplifying it and helping you feel less stressed about food.
We're going to talk to them about the diet trends that they've been seeing this year that they wish would just go away forever. Also, the nice thing about this conversation is they're trained in health coaching as well. So they're looking at like the mental aspect of making change. And they had an idea that I thought was brilliant for thinking about how you can live a healthier, more balanced life and go about that behavior change. I actually was like taking notes as they were mentioning it. Also, one thing I loved about this conversation was not only did we talk a little bit about nutrition and diets, but really more importantly, sometimes is like the other stuff that we often overlook when it comes to our health and self-care and what that looks like for both of them in the work that they do. Now, before we jump into this episode, we just want to read a review. By the way, thank you to the 1,794 people who have left a rating and or review. We really appreciate it. Our goal is what? To get to 2,000 by the summertime? I feel like that's reasonable. So like 200 more. I'll read a recent one. So they said, my favorite podcast right now. I discovered Food Heaven Podcast a few days ago and I've been obsessed with it. I love Jess and Wendy's approach to wellness and how they interweave this to culture. Their approach is revolutionary and inspiring heart. Thank you, Dominican. Wait.
Boop.
Wendy, is that you?
it's not me, I promise.
It says Dominica GU. Thank you.
Okay.
Now on to the episode.
Can you talk to us a little bit about your approach with nutrition? Because I saw that you factor in things like race and culture, which we speak about a lot on the podcast. So tell us what that actually looks like in a practical way. How do you go about addressing things like that and other factors that might be important to someone's nutrition?
It's so funny because I got a message from a doctor telling me today that I used my article in Bon Appetit as a political platform and that Black people are overweight or obese because of the choices that they make. Right. And that's from a doctor. And so, yeah.
What?
And what came inside of me was like, I was just like screaming in my house. And I was like, this is what I'm talking about. If this is how a physician sees the Black patient, then who is there to help BAIPOC? Like, who is it? So it's on us. It has to be on us
right.
to to make health and wellness accessible to everyone. And that is really, like, I believe Mind and Tomorrow's goal is just, that's why we take insurance. That's why we have as many practitioners that are of color as we can and make sure that everybody is trained in cultural competency. Like, those things make a difference. And it's not just about race. It's also like socioeconomic diversity. You know, when dietitians seem very out of touch, like old adage, right? Like, you have these very wealthy, white, thin women disseminating information about nutrition. So of course, if you are someone who is of color, you would be like, does this person even like relate to me? Like, do they understand who I am or what I'm doing? And so that's really our goal. We want people to know, like, we see them and we want to help them reach whatever goal that they're looking to achieve.
I think Vanessa really hit the nail on the head with that last comment too, right? Like, it's not about what we think you should do with your health. It's really about what you want to do with your health. And that's really how we train our dietitians and how we approach counseling and coaching people. It's not our agenda. We're not saying you're quote unquote obese or quote unquote overweight, so let's focus on weight loss for you, or your doctor referred you for X, Y, and Z. It's about, how can we help you? How can we support you based on what you need that's going to make you feel good? And for a lot of people, that's like, you know, I just want to establish a routine around cooking, you know, or I want to learn more about this medical condition. I don't know if I'm ready to make changes, but I'd like to just talk to someone about it because I have a lot of shame around it, you know? So I think that's a big part of it too. It's not just about like fixing people. It's about supporting people to do what they want to do with their bodies. And I think that's sort of our message of accessibility and personalization.
What are some of the concerns that you've been noticing with your clients and or online community, because you guys are also on IG, as it relates to quarantine and food/body image?
Now, everybody spends a lot of time scrolling through IG. So you see these celebrities and you hear that they did some kind of diet, and then you're like, oh, well, I'm home, so I can do that. I have time to do that. And it's like, well, everybody just needs to stay in their own lane. Like, I'm never going to look like J-Lo. I love her. If anybody talks about her, it's like on and popping. I don't care. I don't care if she's telling everyone about the olive oil. I don't care. I accept it. It is what it is. But I'm never going to look like J-Lo because I don't have J-Lo money and I don't have J-Lo time. I don't have, you know what I mean? So like,
you don't have J-Lo genetics either, girl. Sorry.
That too. So like, you know, I have to keep it real, right? Like what Tamar was saying before, like what is right for you? And so a lot of people come to us and they're like, I've been sitting here drinking my feelings and I've been eating my feelings and I just want to lose 20 pounds. And you're like, okay, guys, wait, let's go back to exploring like the feelings. Like, what is it that what you feel? Like, why are you feeling that way? It's a lot. Like, you're home with your family. Maybe somebody lost their job. Maybe you're struggling to pay bills. Like, there's all this stuff that's heavy, like political climate. It's all this stuff. So that's sort of what people have to acknowledge. It's funny because when they sit and talk with us, they're like, wait, I have to do like emotional work? You're like, yes. Half the battle. Right? What do you think, Tamar?
I think it's actually interesting because a lot of my clients have like done really well in quarantine. It's been actually less challenging for them because, especially when it comes to body image, because they're not like going out as much, you know, and comparing themselves to their friends. And it feels like they're more in touch with their bodies and like really recognizing how food and movement and all of these little daily things really influence their body. And whereas before they were sort of just on the go so much, you know, and weren't as in tune with how their behavior impacts the way that they feel physically and mentally. So I've actually had like the opposite response with a lot of my clients. I mean, I think motivation is really hard right now, and pressure, like people definitely do feel the sense of pressure like post-quarantine now that vaccine is out and things are looking a little more hopeful. But I feel like a lot of my clients have like transformed in their relationship with their body because they've just been able to focus on themselves.
I don't know about you, but I haven't been able to go to the dentist recently, well, actually in the past year, because of COVID. I don't feel comfortable, but I still really miss that squeaky clean feeling I get after my teeth cleaning. The cool thing is that this week's podcast sponsor, Bruche, makes an electric toothbrush that gives you that same squeaky clean feeling after you go to the dentist and have your hygienist do the works. Now, for those of you who haven't heard of Bruch before, I was in that camp as well. And as soon as they reached out to be a podcast sponsor, I was like, let me go to YouTube and see what the reviews are saying. And I actually looked at dental hygienist reviews because I trust dental hygienists who were comparing Bruch to other similar electric toothbrushes. And what I found was overwhelmingly, they all were recommending Bruch for many different reasons. One of them was because it has softer bristles. So they were saying that it's not going to damage your teeth as much as a toothbrush that has really firm bristles, and it won't be damaging to your gums, which I love that. Also, I like that it does over 30,000 strokes per minute, but it feels like you're in control of the toothbrush. Also, one of my favorite things, because I hate charging anything, is that it has a month-long battery life, which is incredible. Now, if you want to give Bruch a try, head on over to Bruch.com and use the code FOODHEAVEN for 15% off your order and your refill plan. Again, that's 15% off using code FOODHEAVEN at Bruch, Bruch.com. You guys have heard us talk about Forger on the podcast before, and that's because we really like their products. Today's podcast is sponsored by Forger Project. And if you haven't heard about the brand before, they are family owned and operated and craft 100% organic dairy-free yogurts, kefirs, milk, and sour cream using one of my favorite ingredients in any dairy-free product, and that is cashews. Yep, cashews. Why do they use them? Because they have like a very neutral taste and you can kind of make them whatever you want them to be. And also, the most important part for me is that they're very creamy. My favorite product that I have tried from Forger, actually, I would say there's two. So one is the probiotic cashew milk yogurt, which if you are looking for some healthy bacteria to add to your gut, this is great for that. And the other one is their cashew milk yogurt, especially the vanilla flavor. I really like those. And good news for you, for podcast listeners, Forger is offering a limited offer coupon for a free, that's right, free 99 cup of yogurt at forgerproject.com/cultivatehealth. That's Forger Project, forgerproject.com/cultivatehealth. And also, if you check out their website, you'll find hundreds of delicious and easy to make recipes. All right, y'all, let's hop back into the episode.
How has social media been for you both during quarantine? Because I feel like a lot of us have been spending more time on social media, and it kind of ties into the whole like comparison trap where maybe some people might be feeling more pressure to look a certain kind of way or eat a certain kind of way if they're spending more time on social media. So how has that personally been for you both? Or have you seen that with like the people that you're working with?
Oh yeah. I mean, the comparison trap is so real. Like, I think now that people are on social media more, they definitely get that sense. But I also think there's more awareness about like the reality of social media not being a reality. You know? Yeah. Like, I think people are much, because there's just so much information right now that people are consuming, they're a little more critical about the stuff that they're consuming. Like, yeah, right, this person is really not living this lifestyle. Like, I think people are just like a little more woke about like this content that's like curated. Like, I think people are less buying into what social media is trying to sell us because they're more in touch with like the things that are more important. Like, you know, when you go, like Vanessa was saying, when you go on like a celebrity's Instagram and you're seeing that like it's quarantine and they're like on a private island. And you're like, yeah. And you're like, you know what? Like, this is not a reality for most people, but I don't even have a job, you know? Like, I think it's harder to buy into like the narrative of how people are truly living their lives when you know that it's not real, you know? So yeah. I don't know. That's what I've found with my clients.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen a mix of both of those things where some people, and I actually got a lot of new clients like kind of when quarantine was starting because they were like, oh, I have this time and like I'm not really sure and I want to connect more, or maybe I have more of an opportunity to connect. So definitely see both of those things. Now, I'm curious with the diets because that is one thing it's all over social media, like, you know, this diet, the flat tummy tea, the this, the that, I'm hearing the ketos. Are there any diet trends that you guys have been seeing that you're just like, oh, they need to go away forever?
All of them. They're all so whack. Like, does this ever happen to you? Like, a patient will come in and they'll be like, okay, so I was reading about the cert food diet. That's the diet that Adele did. And you're like, I don't know anything about that because that's stupid, but hold on. So then you have to like, and then they're like looking at you like maybe like you don't know what you're doing. You're like, not that.
Yeah.
Like, I went to NYU and was trained at Mount Sinai. I pulled out OG tubes and dropped NG tubes. I know what I'm doing. Hold. So then you're like reading this diet, this thing, and then you go into this dive of like the study, right? Because there's a right. study, but the study has like one little thing on like six people. We've done this. I'm like,
oh,
so that's not,
God, yeah.
you're like, okay, let me teach you about research. Six people is not a study. It's not
right.
That's a hypothesis. They just don't get it. Cause they just get one piece of it. And I'm like, okay, so that's why these diets just don't work. Don't do them.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting is super interesting because I feel like people are really on board with it because there is like some literature, and I've actually like really dove into literature on it, and it's not, there isn't enough. Right? There's still so much that we don't know. And I've had, as Vanessa said, I've had clients come in who do it. And a lot of like the research, just in general, I mean, we know this as women of color, like a lot of the research is on white males, right? And so like, you know, we have all these doctors saying, oh, intermittent fasting, you know, it's supposed to help with insulin resistance and it's supposed to, you know, be anti-aging and it has all these benefits. And like, while that might be true, potentially, there's also like a whole population of people you aren't studying. And I think clinically, when women are intermittent fasting, generally they don't do as well with it, right? I think people are on board with it because it's, you know, they're not calorie counting and it feels like a loose diet. It's just like a way of eating. But I think the people who it really works for are not women specifically. And we don't know if that works as well for people of color as well, because there's just no research on it. And the reality is that like 80 to 90% of people who we see have some form of disordered eating. I think most of the country has some form of disordered eating, right? Like mm-hmm. that is the reality. You know, our relationship with food is so strained these days. And I think that that patient population does not do well with intermittent fasting, right? I think we're not really thinking about that. We're not thinking about intermittent fasting from a female hormone perspective, and we're definitely not thinking about it from a disordered eating perspective at all.
For people who are spending more time at home, if you have to like cook for other people, like I know I've been in a place where sometimes I'm like going all in and then I want nothing to do with my kitchen. So I'm wondering, for people who feel just like that general lack of disinterest when it comes to food, especially during quarantine, what are some good first steps that you think might be helpful to just help people take care of themselves and when it comes to that area of their life?
I think it doesn't have to be like all or nothing, right? Because I think that's generally how we feel. It's like gives us like self-worth. Like, oh, okay, I made six meals and vegetables and okay, I'm ready for the week. And then, you know, the next week you're like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. So I think that if you live with other people who are willing to help, you can split the meals, right? So I definitely task my husband, like, please make these things. And he does, you know, he's like, if you just ask me, I'll do it. So, and also, why do you have to make six meals? Why don't you make like two main meals and, you know, have obviously like some vegetables and like your fruits, and then like decide the other days, maybe you're going to order in, maybe you have like a pod. So you're going to go to somebody else's house and like, they're going to cook the meal. I think a lot of the planning is part of the thing. And since, you know, you're home and you have a little bit more time, but I don't think that you should shy away from ordering in if that's what you want to do, or maybe like trying one of those meal delivery services if that's what you want. A lot of restaurants in town, like for us, there's this one restaurant in town that all throughout quarantine, they would give 50% off wine and free kids meals. So it was like a no-brainer, right? Like maybe twice a week, you'd be like, okay, hey, like let's order from this place. And the food always came hot and it was delicious, right? So, and then you're supporting also local business, and we ate beautiful food. There was fish, there were vegetables, there some, you know, burgers and fries, kids had chicken fingers, whatever, you know, just depended on what we felt like, but at least we were getting something that was good and hot and quality. So I just think that being a little bit more gentle with yourself and just saying, I'm capable of doing this. These are two easy meals I can do, even if it's a breakfast, you know, just try something different, you know, get a recipe and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I think starting small is like so, so important. Like Vanessa said, I think people just like try to do all the things at the same time and then they do it and it's too hard because it's not sustainable. And then they totally give up. I also think people try to do things that they think they should be doing, but not things they themselves want to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's about figuring out what you want to do, right? Like maybe you think you should be batch cooking or you think you should be eating X, Y, and Z, but like, what do you really want to do? When it comes to motivation, I think it's so important to like tap into like your needs and not what you think you should be doing or what everybody else wants you to do. And you're so much more motivated to do stuff when it's on your own terms.
Yeah, exactly. It's so interesting you guys say that because I'm like, same exact thing. I think for everybody, but we see it as dietitians because people come in and they're like, but we're not doing enough and we're not doing enough like quickly and I need to overhaul. And just, I think our job is to help reflect back to people. Okay, well, when have you done that and when has it worked? Right. So let's try something new where yes, it may not feel like you're doing so much, but like those little things will build on top of each other so that in the end, hopefully you'll be more aligned with whatever your values are.
Want to take a quick break to highlight one of our sponsors this week, Pachamama. Whether you're sick of not being able to focus, you're not sleeping well, which is literally 99.9% of the people that I know, or you have aches and pains, Pachamama is here to help. Native to Colorado, Pachamama creates award-winning CBD in tincture and topical form using just one local USDA organic hemp farm and a solvent-free air extraction method. And what they do is that instead of artificially flavoring their tinctures, they pair them with ethically sourced adaptogens and superfoods like cacao for better focus. They use valerian for sleep, turmeric for recovery. All of their products are vegan, gluten-free, and they don't test on animals, ensuring that it's something that is suitable for everyone, no matter what kind of dietary preferences or restrictions or allergies you might have. If you go on their website, you'll see that it enables you to take a personalized quiz in which you find out which product combination is right for you. And the great thing is that if you go on the website, you'll see that Pachamama products are triple lab tested, and they list all of this information on their website. It's available to the public. Their packaging is 100% post-consumer recycled. It's custom designed with algae ink and filled with recycled paper, so very, very sustainable. And Pachamama is one of only four CBD brands to test negative for leads, metals, plastics, pesticides, and inaccurate levels of CBD. For those of you that are interested in trying Pachamama products out, you can go to pachamama.com. That's PachaMama.com. And we have a code for you all, FoodHeaven. You'll get 25% off. Again, that's pachamama.com. You can use the code FOODHEAVEN to get 25% off. Let us know what you think. We're going to hop right back in.
You guys mentioned that a lot of what you do, and I'm sure most dietitians, there's mental health components to it, right? Like there's some counseling in there. How do you address mental health within, and not saying like going out of your scope and being like a therapist, but like what are some ways that you address kind of the emotional piece around food in your counseling?
Should I take it, me? This is my specialty.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a board certified health coach as well. So I've been trained in like behavioral health and like just overall kind of lifestyle and mindset stuff. And specifically in coaching, you know, the focus is really on positive psychology, which is something that really changed my life. It was really difficult to implement, but it's this approach that like, it's not just about being like positive all the time, but it's about focusing on your strengths and also your needs and like letting go of guilt and shame. So in coaching, it's a strengths-based model. So we're really talking about, okay, like what are you good at? Let's identify your values and your strengths and really, really capitalize on what you're good at, right? Like I think we from a healthcare perspective are trained to fix people, right? Like, which inherently is what's wrong with you? How can we make you better? Right. That's kind of how we're trained. That's how we learn about the human body. Like, there's something wrong. How can we fix it? Right. But with the coaching model, it's like, what's right with you? How can we capitalize on what's great and use those strengths and tools more to motivate you to feel empowered and self-efficacious? Like, how can we use your strengths to outgrow your problem, so to speak? So I do a lot of that work with my clients and just kind of reinforcing what they're good at and reinforcing ways that they can utilize their strengths in their day-to-day. That's something that I'm super passionate about. I mean, it's like Vanessa was saying, like, it's not about staying in your lane, but it's about recognizing, like, you have this unique set of skills that make you fabulous. Like, how can we celebrate that more? And how can we celebrate your wins more? You know, so instead of like focusing on the negative, we're just really focused on, you know, what makes you great, you know, and everybody has something like that. Everybody has something that they're great at or something that makes them unique and great, and nobody talks about it enough. So I focus on that a lot. And I think that really helps with empowering people and giving them just like a different perspective.
I'm writing this all down. I love it.
I think it's great, because with nutrition, I mean, you know, oftentimes I remember when I was doing clinical counseling and patients would come in like ready to, you know, talk about food, and like 2 minutes in, it would turn into a conversation about, you know, family, immigration, access, yeah, like all of these like major issues that were going on. And it's like food is a way to get to so many other things, you know, that might be going on with someone. And so much mental health stuff comes up in nutrition practice. And I mean, oftentimes I wouldn't even talk about nutrition for most of the session. It would be like all of these like really big life things that were going on that somehow would be impacting, you know, someone's food choices. So I love that you take on that approach. And also, like, because like with the whole positivity stuff like that, because you know how sometimes it's like overboard and it's like, okay, like shut the fuck up already with like, oh my God, life is great. Like, I don't feel that way. But I do think that there's a place for it. And like, you know, just like approaching it from a practical way, like, okay, well, what are some ways to highlight some of the good things that are happening, but also acknowledge some of like the not so great things that are happening that might be impacting your food choices?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's not about like ignoring these really horrible feelings, right? Like, I think from like a coaching perspective, it's about identifying those feelings, being able to like truly say like, I'm sad, or I'm pissed, or yeah, like I am devastated, you know, being able to identify those feelings, but then associate those feelings back to like your basic needs as a human, because we all have basic human needs, right? When we experience uncomfortable feelings, we try to numb, we try to escape. For me, I'm an escaper. Vanessa is an attacker.
What does that mean? What does an attacker mean?
I just will cut your throat if I have to. No, it's just like,
I'll come at you. I'll run away and she'll come at you.
Yeah, I'm just like very direct, and I don't like to have anything left on the table, because I really do care about how I interact with people and how our interaction will make you feel. And so if there's something that is unsettled for me, I'm like, no, we're going to have words, however they're going to be.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I'll just never talk to you again.
I feel like I'm in the middle. I'm between both of those. A little bit of both.
Yeah. And so we have these coping mechanisms. And for a lot of people, those coping mechanisms are eating, right? Because it's accessible, it triggers our pleasure center, it makes us feel good in the short term. But I think the reality is that in order for you to overcome sort of that mental and work through the mental challenges that you're having, you have to really understand why you're feeling the way you're feeling and work on meeting those basic needs, right? Like, so I have a client, she, you know, she's an emotional eater, and she was doing really, really well. And then she just had a really tough time and like, you know, ebbs and floats with quarantine. And she's like, you know, I just like, I really was feeling like alone and sad. And I didn't want to accept that, like, this is my reality. And so I think then the work is like, instead of saying, oh, well, like, let's make a meal plan where you can, like, not eat these things and, like, eliminate these things from your house, we have to say, okay, well, like, how can you connect with people more? Like, how can we meet that need of loneliness by, like, focusing on, like, maybe enrolling in a digital class, right? And seeing what that feels like, you know? So just, like, more practical tips to, like, meet that need that is not being met, which is resulting in the emotional eating.
Yes. I love, love, love all that. Mm-hmm. What are some practical ways that people can take care of themselves that have nothing to do with food? Because again, they come to us as dietitians expecting the meal plan. Typically, we're not giving a meal plan. And people are like, wait, what? And we're looking at the person as a whole. So yeah, what are some other things outside of food that you find to be important to focus on?
Well, like, you know, in quarantine, I started a meditation practice, and it's been since like March, and I have like a group, and we meet weekly, and we do all this meditation and like spiritual development. And it creates space in your mind, right? So that you're able to really deal with things, right? Like, I just really try to like work with people, like, why don't you, let's journal, let's do some, you know, CBT, let's do some meditation, even if it's 5 minutes, like, let's just, you know, brain dump like 5 minutes, like every night before you go to bed, like get it all out. And people kind of look at you like you're crazy, but then they start to do it. And if they can stay consistent, and it doesn't need to be 45 minutes every single day of meditation, right? Like, it can just be 5 minutes. Then they see, like, okay, it creates a habit and a pattern, and they're doing something for them, like real self-care. Or like, why don't you leave your house and go for a walk? That's self-care. Get away from people. You know, you're breathing in the fresh air, even though it's from through a mask. Sometimes I get myself like hypoxic out there because I'm really deep breathing. But
right,
yeah. Like, Tamar and I soul cycle outside in Hoboken, and sometimes, like, right after the class is over, I'll put my mask on, but my heart rate is still elevated. And I'm like, I'm gonna be hypoxic. But yeah, I just think that, like, finding the things that make you feel good that are just for you is, because a lot of people, most of us, feel selfish doing things that are just for you, right? You have a husband, you have a boyfriend, you have kids, you have a dog, you have parents, you have responsibilities, and you feel like you need to be doing more things for them. So, but you know, like, the only way that you can fill other people's cups is if you fill your own cup. That's not ingrained in us in like society, right? Like, even though I know that like, if people did more for others, it would be better, obviously. But at the same time, like, you're not doing anything for yourself. You just don't, because we don't know how.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's, you know, there's a cultural component to that too. Because I think especially for like immigrant women, Black women, it's like caretaker. And it's like, okay, no, I don't want any of that. I am renouncing all of it. I don't want anything to do, because it's like, well, that's, you know, that's just the expectation. And so I think it's really important to kind of like redefine what being a woman looks like in that capacity. And it's like, yeah, taking care of yourself is like, whoa, you know, if I were to tell my mom that or my grandma that, they would be like, girl, what are you talking about? You have to like, but it is really important. And yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because I have a friend who is a social worker, and she makes like all this time for her kids. And so she goes to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and she works until 1. And then she comes home, and at 3 o'clock, she's also a licensed therapist. She does therapy work from like 3 to 7. And I'm like, girl, I know your mother did that and worked 2 jobs and is an immigrant and came, but your mother did that so that you can go to Boston University, get your master's, have the highest license, so that you don't have to do that. And she was like, whoa. I was like, yeah, you don't have to struggle. Like, stop.
She's like, I never thought about martyring. That.
Yeah. I'm like, stop martyring yourself. And she was like, oh my gosh, you are so right. I was like, yeah, that's not, you need to be present for your family. And that's not a way for you to be present, because emotionally, mentally, you're not able to be there. So you're not doing anything. You're being as disconnected as your mother was from you, except your mother really did have to do those things to give you what you have now. So what are you doing? She was like, wow,
And I think people in the helping field are like, just like women and, you know, women of color, mm-hmm. people in our field are so vulnerable to this as well, right? Because it's in our nature. It's one of our strengths to be able to say, like, I'm going to help you, you know, yeah. like we're inherently altruistic. And I think that can be a fault, especially during this time. I mean, I have so many clients who are therapists and they're like, I'm just struggling so much, you know? And I think we in the healing field just need to be able to support each other now more than ever. But I think also like have boundaries. Like there's only so much that you can help someone else. You got to help yourself. Like Vanessa and I check each other all the time. She's like, you're seeing too many clients. I'm like, I know, I need to stop. And I'm like, you're taking too many meetings. She's like, I know, I need to stop. Right. Like, it's because, you know, she's helping her students at NYU and she's also helping clients. And we're also, you know, building a business. It's, I think healers and people who like to help people are just so sensitive to burnout.
Yeah, Jess and I talk about this a lot because we're both empaths and we just easily get overwhelmed by too much stimulation, too much going on when people are like projecting emotions and stuff. And it could completely wear someone out, especially if, you know, I think that there are just certain people that are more vulnerable than others when it comes to that stuff where you just like, you internalize more, like just it just naturally comes to you where you just like internalize other people's emotions more and things like that. And so just really having that awareness, because it can completely debilitate me sometimes where I'm just like, oh my God, like it's just too much. So yeah, I love that. I love that you mentioned that. And you also mentioned your practice. Tell us what y'all are up to. Tell us all about, you know, your practice, everything, like exciting projects that you have going on, where our listeners can learn more about you.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff. It's so crazy, you know, to what we were saying before, like being a first generation kid for me is like, I'm just like working all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what else other thing? Like, can't be mediocre. Everything has to be perfect. Like, and Tamara's like, girl, you gotta to tone down. But we are really busy. Like we hired a bunch of people. So we've got like seven dietitians. We've got,
oh my God,
I'm the dietetic internship director at NYU. So we've got interns and I gotta manage the interns and make them competent culturally and they're otherwise. We've got we did media this week. I'll be on Dr. Oz on Monday. So that's cool.
Look at y'all. Killing it.
Writing articles. We're just like, we're having a lot of fun. We really support each other really well. So it's, you know, much like you guys, I think, you know, you just have like it's like a good team. It's a good match.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't say no to anything. Tamara's like, yo, girl. I'm like, it's fine. I'll wake up at 4 and do it. Just like, what?
Oh my God, girl.
Yeah. So Kulina Health is like our hub. Kulina Health is really, Kulina means kitchen in Latin. So, you know, we believe that health really starts in the kitchen. And I know you guys can relate. By the way, like your food picks, like make me want to drool. It's so good.
Thank you.
All your recipes. I'm like, can I go? Where is Wendy? Can I go?
Oh my God.
Like, how's it happening?
I need to come over.
When quarantine is over, we can hang out and I will make food for you.
We'll hang out. Okay, perfect.
And yeah, so we, you know, have Kulina Health, which focuses on personalized medicine and lifestyle change for individuals of any shape, size, color, sexuality, whatever you want to do and whatever decision you want to have to live your life. We respect you and we welcome you. And as Vanessa said, all of our dietitians are trained in our philosophies. We don't have like a method because we believe in personalized medicine. So you're sort of, if you're a client of ours, you're going to get something that works for you. And then we are working a lot on, you know, just trying to reach more people outside of our practice, even though we're able to reach a lot of people through insurance and through telehealth now, which has been like so great. We also want to reach more people in the digital space. So we're, you know, kind of just saying, Vanessa's making me say yes to everything. And we're working on like a digital course and freelance writing and just having some fun in the wellness space.
That's so cool. How exciting. I love, I, yeah,
I keep saying I love it, but it's so cool what you guys are doing. And just to see two women of color joining forces, supporting each other, that is so incredible with the private practice. And I was wondering about the name. I loved it from the beginning, but now hearing the meaning behind it, that's, yeah, even better. So
it's really because of, you know, people like you. Like, you guys like help pave the way, right? Like, you made it possible for us to do similar things and to be able to be in the space, right? Because the space only has, I know all the people gonna be mad, but I'm gonna say it again because in fact, 81% are white women. I'm sorry if you are triggered, but that is truth. I didn't make it up. A and D provided.
It seems like it's higher than that.
Well, I always give the stat that in the state of New York, there are only 315 dietitians who are Black, and in the state of New Jersey, there are only
right now.
Yeah. And in the state of New Jersey, only 75. And technically, I'm counted twice, right? Because I practice. So it was like ridiculous. And I just think that, you know, it's really great that now there are many practitioners of color that are helping for people to see us and to know that, like, we also belong in this space and we have a lot to say and we're just as trained as everybody else. So I'm glad that you guys are doing the work too. So thank you.
Yeah. And that's why I was so excited when I saw like all the practitioners on your website, because I remember when we first entered the field, it was like, what in the world? Like, we just felt so isolated and there were no resources or no conversations really happening about this stuff that we were aware of. And so it's just so exciting to be able to connect about these things with other dietitians of color and to see things kind of shifting, because I think as the face of nutrition shifts, you know, diverse people are able to feel more identified and represented through food. So tell us your website and like your socials so people can find you and check you out.
We are Kulina Health, www.kulinahealth.com, at Kulina Health, very easy. And you can find all about us there.
Yeah.
And anyone, like if someone wants to sign up for counseling, they can live anywhere?
They can live anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. So good to see you.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Food Heaven podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to connect with us online. We're most active on the gram at Food Heaven, but we're also on Facebook and Twitter at Food Heaven Show. If you like this podcast, make sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share with a friend.
Yep, our podcast is released every Wednesday, and each week we take a deep dive into topics like health at every size, food and culture, intuitive eating, mental health, and body acceptance. If you're looking for a sustainable and inclusive path to wellness, come hang out with us to learn how to take care of yourself from the inside out. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.